The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The original Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, California turned 70 this week. So Stuart McHugh is with me from Disneyland Paris Tips for Irish to tell us more. Stuart, you're very welcome to the show. If we go back in time, back 70 years ago, what was the vision for Disney theme parks within that Disney corporation when it opened?
Yeah, how are you, Kieran? So Walt Disney created Disneyland in Anaheim, California as a place that he could go with his two daughters. That would be a bit of fun for them and a bit of fun for him. He was kind of sick of going to fairgrounds that just the kids have their fun and the parents sit there eating their peanuts on the bench. So he wanted to build something that he could be proud of and that he could have fun of that as well.
And then how long did it take for the theme parks, be it this one or subsequent theme parks, to become a much bigger part of the Disney business model?
Yeah, well, actually, the first one opened in 1955. And the week it opened, it was a bit of a disaster. You know, counterfeit tickets and just ride breakdowns everywhere. But within a year, they turned it all around and they were making good money after a year. And then, so 1955, California. And then we just passed the 50th anniversary in Orlando, Florida. And that's kind of the mecca of theme parks globally is Orlando. So Walt Disney World there makes an absolute packet. You know, it works in synergy with the movies. You're often getting updates in the theme parks. California is a much smaller park, similar to Disneyland Paris that I go to a lot, as you know. But yeah, they really work well within the Disney company. They synergize with the movies, with the Disney Plus offering. You know, it really brings what the Disney message is to life, in that people can experience these things for themselves without having to see it through a screen at home.
I heard somebody describing kind of Disney more recently, slightly tongue-in-cheek. They said Disney's actually now a theme park company, and then they just have these movies and other things as advertisements to get people into their theme parks. Is that fair?
Exactly, yeah. I'm not sure the exact percentage of the revenues globally, but definitely it's growing. You know, the CEO currently, Bob Iger, he's been a kind of a magician or a visionary on the magic side of things. They did have a kind of an accountant in charge for 2 years. Didn't go too well. So Bob Iger is back after taking kind of COVID off. And during COVID, they really pushed Disney Plus, and then they found that it wasn't really bringing in the revenue, wasn't bringing in the growth. They thought that people were investing in TVs at home and wanted to just stay at home with their huge TVs now after COVID. But now people are realizing that they want to get out. They want to experience things for themselves, that, you know, the world doesn't know what's going to go into shutdown next. So they want to get out and experience things firsthand.
And is it even true that, I mean, Disney would be willing to take a loss on a movie or a Disney Plus product, some content on Disney Plus, if it just means that there's actually a ride or some kind of attraction that they can build around it that will ultimately make them more money?
Yeah, absolutely. You see some of the newest rides in the American parks in the last decade, for example, Rise of the Resistance in the Star Wars lands. You know, a Star Wars movie hasn't made a lot of money in a long time, but Rise of the Resistance is a huge draw for the parks. And when you build a ride in the Disney theme park, you're not only building it for 1 year, you're building it for decades of revenue that's coming in. These people are coming in, they're spending money on merch, food, etc. The parks are now shifting greatly towards a more of an adult-centric offering. So classically, you would have gone with your kids, you know, 3 or 4 nights to Paris or maybe 2 weeks to Florida, where now you get what's called Disney adults. And that's not a derogatory term. That's just adults who like spending time with Disney. You get them going over and spending a lot of their disposable income on whatever it be. Maybe it's a €100 meal with characters, €100 jumper. You know, it's crazy money when you take a step back. But Disney...
Stuart, that is crazy. Sorry, I did the Orlando trip we did years ago, and it was brilliant. One of the best family holidays we were ever on when I was a kid, and I would love to do the same someday, or just bring my kids to Paris. But the idea of going as an adult and paying £100 to sit beside somebody dressed up as a character, I have to say, I find that like slightly laughable.
Yeah, well, everybody has their hobbies, you know, and like,
yeah, fair enough.
Say you were going to a football game, Kieran, and you know, you spend whatever £200 on your ticket to the Premier League, and then you dressed up in your sports outfit. I don't think like a lot of people would be saying, "Oh, that's a bit sad." But people love going, and it's kind of like, I'm a huge rugby fan, big Leinster fan, and I know the heartbreak of losing the game, but going to Disney is like going to a game where you know you're going to win every time. It does take away the kind of the risk, but then people love that they're going to have guaranteed a good time.
And so what then is the next frontier in theme parks? Is it more and more use, or like the newest rides? You mentioned Rise of the Resistance and things like that. Are they relying very heavily on new technology? Is there elements of AI involved? Are they kind of bespoke experience as to, you know, 50 or 100 of you piled onto one roller coaster at the same time? Where's all this going?
Yeah, so Disney is actually at the forefront of what they call Imagineering. It's engineering with imagination, obviously. So they're always pushing the envelope for technologies. You know, we see with the new theme park that was just announced in the last month or two, Disney Abu Dhabi, they're going to be just, it's not a Disney-owned theme park, but Disney are licensing the intellectual property. So they're going to be just really pushing the envelope for unlimited budget rides. You have the Tron ride in Florida that's also in Shanghai. And like the Tron movies haven't done well at all, but if you throw it into a ride, it becomes a huge draw for ticket sales. We have Abu Dhabi, we have Tokyo, which again is not Disney owned, so it's not on the balance sheet of Disney, but they can lend their expertise and their knowledge about building rides and incorporating intellectual property. And then other companies can take the risk on putting the capital in. So we have huge expansions in Tokyo, a whole new theme park in Abu Dhabi. Paris is opening its World of Frozen and Adventure, turning into Disney Adventure World next year. So that's much closer to home. And it's just on the technology front, we see it all the time. So brand new this year in Paris, we had the BDX droids that were over from the States. They're little autonomous droids that interact with you while you're having your drink. Again, this is a premium experience in Disneyland Paris where you have to pay 20 euro plus for a glass of champagne, and then the little droids come up to you as you drink your champagne. So yeah, it's all wrapped up together. It's all modernizing. You know, apps are really important these days. Getting your slots, waking up at 6 a.m. in Florida and getting your slots. It's all modern. Yeah.
What though are the rides or the attractions that Disney would never get rid of? You know what I mean? That people expect to find at any Disneyland park they go to. They expect to find the castle, I guess, in the middle of the Magic Kingdom, in the middle of it, in all of the parks to one degree or another. I just think of Space Mountain. That was the big thing when I went to Disneyland Paris as a kid years and years ago on a French exchange trip. A bunch of us went. That was the big ride. Is it still that? What is it? What are the things that they'll always keep?
Yeah, it's basically things around Fantasyland and Mickey Mouse, for example. Obviously, you have Big Thunder Mountain in Disneyland Paris as well. Probably my favorite ride in the whole world. But then a recent ride in California, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, that was, you know, used a lot of screens, but it's harking back to the nostalgia of being a kid, of seeing Mickey Mouse on a Saturday morning on the TV. Like the rides, I mean, it's crazy. In Paris now, you could queue over an hour go on the Peter Pan ride, which when they turn on the lights, fire through in the magic, but you're basically just floating over styrofoam. So, and people will do it. People will rush from the what they call rope drop down to Peter Pan just to get on that ride because they know it's going to be 1 or 2 hours later on in the day. So yeah, there's a huge shift to the adults from the family offering as well these days. Like, you know, loads of bars, late night parties. It's big business.
It is. And listen, Stuart, thanks for talking us through the big business of Disney. 70 years this week since the first resort opened, Disney Resort in Anaheim in California. And as Stuart said, it was just that Walt Disney wanted somewhere to bring the grandkids. And look what it's grown into today. Stuart McHugh from Disneyland Paris, Tips for the Irish. Stuart, thanks a million.
Thank you, Kieran. Bye-bye.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.